The fight against the devil never stops. But Jesus showed us how to defeat him during a 40-day fast in the desert. He did what he wants us to do. He used the Word of God as an offensive weapon and forced the devil to flee. Today, more insights on why the Bible is, for us, the sword of the Spirit, and how its teachings have the power to deliver us from temptation. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on the invisible war, taken from the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 6, learning about the armor of God, and now we've come to what Paul calls the sword of the Spirit, a weapon to ward off Satan's lies.
Here's a craving of your body, he says, and I promise you that if you do it, you'll be able to control the consequences. After you give in to it and you can't control the consequences, he comes back and says, now that you've messed up so badly, mess it up good and proper. There's no use even turning to God. So what we have to do is to use the word in fighting against the temptation to fulfill every craving of the body. Jesus said some things are more important than bread. Secondly, the devil takes them to a pinnacle of the temple. We don't know exactly where that was in Jerusalem at the time because all of those buildings have been destroyed. But it says in verse 5, the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now, I hope that your Bible's open at this point. Jesus quotes a verse of Scripture. So what does the devil do? He quotes one too. You know, the navigators like to memorize Scripture. They have them on the Scripture verses on little cards, and they take these cards wherever they go. They put them on the dashboard of their car. I don't know whether or not Satan carries cards or not, but he knows the Scripture well. He's quoting Psalm 91. And he says, you can quote Scripture, Jesus? I'll quote you some also. And he quotes Psalm 91. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. Some people criticize the devil because he did leave out a little phrase, and that is to keep you in all your ways. But I don't know if that's germane to the essence of it. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus, what you could do is to jump down from the pinnacle of the temple. People would see you. They'd recognize that you are the Messiah. And after all, God does say that, you know, if you fall, he'll pick you up. Prove it. Wow. You know, there are some people on television that are very good. They preach the gospel. And then there are others who say very wild and weird things. And I can just imagine some of them that I've watched say something like this. You know, I just had a special revelation from God. And the special revelation from God is this, that I could just jump off a wall and God would catch me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A scripture verse that's quoted out of context and wrongly applied can be very dangerous. Yes, that is scripture. But the scripture is referring to those, for one thing, who might trip and fall accidentally. It's not referring to people who can simply test God and say, okay, God, I'm going to force your hand, and I'm going to demand that you do this for me, and I'm going to force you to make sure that you do what I think you should. Here we go, God, I'm going to test you. No. There's only one place in all the Bible where God says, test me, by the way. And that is in the book of Malachi, where he says, why don't you test me? Why don't you bring the tithes to the storehouse? Why aren't you generous in your giving? And you test me to see whether or not I will bless you as the result of it. That's the only place where God invites a test. We cleave to his promises, but we are not presumptuous. We don't pretend to know his will, and we don't force him into a corner. And so Jesus said that there is a higher principle even than trying to jump down from the pinnacle of the temple. Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And Jesus is quoting there from the book of Deuteronomy. And the context is Israel, which complained about God's taking care of them in the desert. They were putting God to the test. They were saying, if your promises were real, we'd have bread to eat. If your promises were real, we wouldn't be hungry and thirsty. If your promises were real, we'd be winning more battles than we are winning. And so what they were doing is they were provoking God and putting him to the test. And Jesus is quoting scripture that says, don't put God to the test. Don't force his hand by some promise that you've taken out of context. And then there's another temptation. The temptation for the pride of life, and now we get to wealth and power. And this is the bottom line. This is really the heart of the whole thing. You'll notice it says in verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Do you know that the Gospel of Luke adds this interesting phrase? It says, in a moment of time. We don't know what mountain this is. And there must have been something very supernatural going on, because in a moment of time to see all the kingdoms of the world in their glory, in a moment of time to be there in Israel and to see the pyramids of Egypt and to see the splendor of Rome and the Roman Empire in a moment of time and to see Athens and all of the wealth that they'd have had even back then. In a moment of time, Jesus is shown all these kingdoms, and then the devil says, I'll give you all of them if you fall down and worship me. Theologians have debated, did he have a right to even make this promise? I mean, how much power does Satan have? Yeah, he's the prince of the power of the air, but after all, I mean, can he tell the Son of God, I can give you these kingdoms? Well, probably he was bluffing. And most assuredly, he was very deceptive. But what he wanted Jesus to do is to bow down and worship me, which is really the heart of what the devil wants. If there's anything that he wants, it is worship. And he is being worshipped today in many, many different disguises. He's being worshipped by false religions. He's being worshipped by the new spirituality that I've spoken about, where there is a transformation of consciousness and people are into touching that outer realm, that inner consciousness, which eventually, without a guide, leads to occultism and the whole spirit world. And they think that they are in touch with God and they are actually in touch with the devil. It is his most dazzling deception. And so Jesus replies with a verse of scripture, but Jesus adds something. And I like what Jesus added. This time he says, be gone, Satan. Be gone, Satan, he says. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Be gone. And so the devil leaves. But does he leave permanently? No. The Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, here it says the devil left him and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, and Satan left him waiting for a more opportune time. New converts especially don't get this. You see, they think to themselves, well, I fought the devil and I won a victory. Praise God, I am on the victory side. And they don't realize that the devil comes back and he comes back and he comes back. And he comes back and he isn't nice. He doesn't play by any rules. He is the quintessential example whose essence is only ever totally evil, totally angry, totally enraged against God and his people, and he has no conscience whatever. All that he can do is do evil. I saw a video clip of seven lions eating a water buffalo. They took on this big water buffalo, but because there were seven lions, they conquered that beast. And they began eating and tearing at the animal while it was still alive. No conscience. The Bible says that Satan, as a prowling lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Without conscience, without rationality, without sensibility, without compassion, destroying, 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 destroying. And Jesus said, be gone, for it is written that you shall worship the Lord your God only. Notice that Satan wanted Jesus to avoid the cross. In other words, don't die, because he knew that when Jesus died on the cross, that would be his downfall and his defeat. So avoid the cross, get all that you want. And today Satan says to people today, wealth and power is where it's at. And people have sold their souls for wealth and power. Wave big money, and you'll be surprised at what people will sometimes do. And Jesus said, beware, beware of wealth and power. Don't sell your soul Don't sell your soul for wealth and power. So Jesus conquers these temptations. Now the question is, what do we do and how do we bring this down and why should this message change our lives? So let me give you some suggestions of application and transformation. First of all, number one, what we must do is to prepare ourselves for the battle. Prepare ourselves for the battle. Jesus was ready because Jesus knew the scriptures. Are you ready? Do you know the scriptures? Do you know what verses of scripture you would appeal to in the midst of temptation? Let us suppose that there would be an enemy who would come across a wall, and he would come across in the very same area of the city wall each time. Wouldn't you think that the leaders in the city would say, this is the part of the wall that needs to be strengthened? Now, what part of your wall, so to speak, needs to be strengthened? Are you ready for the enemy? You're struggling with moral impurity. Do you know the verses? Such as what Jesus himself said very clearly on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Have you quoted that verse 4 or 5 times? What does it say in the book of Philippians very clearly? Whatever is right, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, think on those things. And on we go through God's holy word. I was reading in Psalm 119 just the other day, and it says, O God, divert my eyes, turn my eyes from worthless things. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Do you know the word of God well enough to be able to use it against that which is your greatest temptation? Your greatest temptation is anxiety. You know the verses of Scripture regarding the peace of God that passes all understanding that should come to you. How do we wield the sword? Well, we wield the sword by very directly using passages of Scripture as Jesus did that relates to our temptation and our situation. That's how we overcome Satan. Because if we continue to stand on those promises, he will eventually leave us.
My friend, I'm so glad that you joined us today, because these messages on how we fight against Satan are incredibly important. And at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how you can receive these messages so that you can listen to them again and again and share them with your friends. And of course, in the midst of the sermons, I always give hope. I always give instruction. I never paint a dark picture without also painting a path leading out. Would you open your Bible today? Would you begin by quoting Scripture, memorizing it if you don't know any verses? Allow the Word of God to purify your heart and mind and build that into your life. I need to do that, you need to do that, so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. He's there trying to destroy us, and only God's Word can help us.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more on The Sword of the Spirit, the last of 7 messages on The Invisible War. Tomorrow, our series concludes with some practical ways to use your sword. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series on The Invisible War can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about The Invisible War. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.